morning. Good morning, Trinity. Well, I see all of us set our clocks ahead. That's good. It's good to see you this morning. We have some pew cards in front of you, a couple colored ones. One's bluish green, the other is a yellowish orange. Those are for prayers and also for just letting us know that you were here. And so whether you're a visitor or a member, we certainly want to be able to have your prayers. And if there's a way for us to need to follow up, please indicate that with your phone number as well. I also would say if you're a visitor or a member, please let us know that you are here with that attendance card. Those cards will be gathered after the scripture reading, so feel free to start writing that down as we start our service. But the fun part, please stand and greet one another now. Good morning. You got the whole pew. Hello,
Pastor Doug.
Emma.
You know Spencer.
Yeah. Hi, Spencer.
Caroline.
Hi. Hi, Cooper. How are you? Where are you at? Where are you at?
FSU.
Okay. So you're not too far from home. Good for you. Good to see you guys. Well, good morning, David.
Again.
Good morning, Maggie. How are you? Good. I am. I'm awake. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right.
Good. Good morning, Jean. How are you? Good. Good morning. How are you, Pastor?
How are you, Pastor?
Good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Pastor. Good morning. How are you, Dina? Good morning, Eric. How are you? Good morning. How are you? Can you reach? Good morning,
Pastor.
God bless you. Good morning, Susan. Good morning, Kevin.
How are you doing?
Good. You? Good morning. You doing well?
Yes, thank you.
Good.
Great.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Good morning,
Mel. Good
morning, Tina. Please remain standing. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, which with I ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness. Give thanks for all your benefits and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water. We loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people in Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. Read in Ephesians, the epistle. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with him. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Lord, by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the book of St. John, the third chapter. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have everlasting or eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than the light, because of their deeds they were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this very day. Our text is the gospel lesson, John chapter 3. You can follow along inside of the worship folder with the sermon notes and also the pew Bibles in front of you. And if I could have our projectionist turn to that screen as well. As a church planter, in my background, when I see bulldozers and I see cranes that are framing the skylight here in Orlando as well, up here by Trinity, and seeing fresh dirt being lifted up and dug out, I sense that growth is in the air. And all of this represents people. People who need grocery stores, doctors, cars, homes, schools, and churches. I get a bit excited because I believe we have the best thing going in town. Where else other than the church can you find a cure for death? Where else in town can you find ready, open acceptance the very first time you walk through the doors of a new place, not knowing anyone, not having done anything, not having given anything special? Where else other than the church can you actually find a place that offers forgiveness when the world is big on blame? Where else can you find hope, security, answers to life's questions, and the like? Where else can you find safety, sanctuary, and security during life's storms? That's why I'm big in what we have to give. And I hope that you and I realize that our job is to be big on giving it away. I remember when my family first bought this new and innovative car. It really wasn't that great of a car, but it was new and it was novel and it was exciting. It was the car that brought Chrysler back. You may remember it being called the K car. And that car was a car that we drove, the first one we bought, over 200,000 miles. And it kept going. And when I started to think about how excited I was about that car, anybody that would ask me, and even people who didn't, I would tell them, I have a K car. I told them about all of its features, how good in gas it was, how quiet and roomy it was. And I remember sharing that news with so many. I read today in the gospel lesson that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And as you and I start to look at this, we see an opportunity to share this with anyone and everyone. Our world today is 7.6 billion people walking and breathing on this planet. 2.1 billion of them are Christians. 1.3 believe in Islam. And 1.1 believe in no God. They're atheists. I recall taking a flight once to LA. And as I looked down, I saw a sea of homes, masses of rooftop after rooftop. And I saw the size of those houses. They seemed to look like dollhouses. And then as I looked down on the street after street, and then to the interstates that we were flying over, I saw cars lined up. And I wondered about having what it was like for God, how he thought about all of this. And I was reminded of this verse, that God so loved the world. And when I landed in Orlando and went to Walmart, I heard many of the same voices that I heard in LA. I heard English, of course, in a couple places. I saw and heard sign language, Chinese, Spanish, and what I thought was a bit of German, all inside the walls of Walmart. But God so loved the world. The whole world. Every one of the people. And as I walked through there and as I walked through Disney that first time, I wondered, do they believe? Do they? Have they heard about Jesus in the corner of the world that they come from? I remember a man that when I shared with him that I was a pastor, he asked me, he said, why should I believe in God? What's he ever done for me? I smiled and said, God so loved you, Henry, as I inserted his name in this gospel. God so loved you, Henry, that he gave his only begotten son so that you, Henry, if you believed in him, you would have everlasting life. Henry, Jesus traded his life for yours. And because of God's love for you, he watched his own son die so that you could have life everlasting. All God wants for you, Henry, is to believe. Is that asking too much? He said, no. And then we started to talk a bit more. It was in this context of this that I thought to myself, whoever believes has the promise of eternal life. Whoever, what a beautiful name that is. I'm not excluded, but rather included. In fact, everyone is. For God so loved everyone, so that if anyone would believe in his name, he would not perish, but would have everlasting life. The Indian in Pakistan, the Iranian, the Egyptian, the Mexican, the Chinese, and even Danes. I just want us to understand this is a truly remarkable message that science tells us that our world is dying. We're either going to choke to death from the air pollution or poison ourselves with the water if we don't blow ourselves up first with a nuclear holocaust. And with North Korea, we start to see all these tensions boiling over again. You know, it's also what I remember years back, that it was feared that many in Africa would perish. And I pulled this up as I was studying this text, and I saw that more than 500 million people get sick with malaria every year. Each year, in most parts of a lot of Africa, each year 1 million people, most of them children in Africa, die of malaria annually. 1 million. That's 2,880 a day, 120 deaths an hour, one death every 30 seconds. The best of the news is that the church, God's people, got involved. And if you remember what happened, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was upon a malaria tent initiative. And by taking the effects of placing a net over a child or over a person in this part of the world, they were protected from mosquitoes. As they slept at night, that silent killer which would bite them was no longer able to, and the lives of many, many have been saved, and malaria is no longer that threat in Africa. You and I, my friends, are bitten by sin. We're born with it. We can't help ourselves, and as a result, I want you to know that Jesus is God's remedy for that sin, and we need solutions. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That's what our text says. And all who would believe in him would not perish, would not suffer a fate far worse than all of this. World that's gone amok. It's a place called hell, where eternal punishment and banishment from God and all of his goodness occur. Can you imagine suffering with no recess or break for eternity? Regardless of the condition of our world today or of our lives, you and I must understand that the grace of God has been extended to each of us through the death of his son. You and I will receive two certificates in life, a birth certificate and a death certificate. But for those who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will also understand that you are given a recording of your name written in the book of life that allows you to spend eternity in heaven with God. And did not Jesus say, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be also? Whoever, even you, who believe in his name has eternal life and the promise written in the blood of Christ. I go to prepare a place for you. I don't know what's going on in every one of your worlds or life, but I do know there are things that just seem to run us down, wear us out, and make us run on low energy. But I want you to know, as a Christian, we have a hope that lasts and lasts and lasts. It goes longer than the Duracell bunny. It goes from this life, even through death, into eternity, where we will live forever and ever and ever. Whoever believes in me has eternal life. As I listen to people, I hear a confession of souls who are sometimes scared and scarred by sin, who say, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry that I don't know how God can keep forgiving me when I commit the same sin over and over again. What I have done is so big, not even God could forgive this bad. There are lives, my friends, that God wants to touch. They're not beyond his reach. It might be your life, because God so loved the world that he gave Jesus for you. He knew you and I could not pay the freight for our sins. He knew it was too big for us to carry or to pay for or to repay. Not even death and eternity in hell would have removed our wrongs. Only God has the means to pay the price, to make things right. The cost? Jesus' life. Christ carried the cross to Calvary, but he did it for you. It was the only way you and I could be forgiven. How can you be forgiven of the big and the bad? God simply looks at the size of his son's death. The Savior, God's own son, overshadows your sins and mine. The size of our sins is small in comparison to the size and worth of our Savior, Jesus. He is bigger and better than the baddest of our sins. He is mightier and of the multiple messes that we have repeatedly made. Your sins and mine were paid for in the blood of God. He who believes is not condemned, verse 18, but whoever does not believe in the name of God's one and only Son is condemned already. To me, that makes perfect sense. When I go to the doctor, he will prescribe medicine. He'll tell me to take it. Now, if I say thank you and then I refuse to fill the medicine, or suppose I get it filled and then I don't take the medicine, am I surprised that I'm not getting any better? In fact, I'm probably ensuring that I'll become sicker. Our Messiah is God's medicine for our salvation and life everlasting, promises you and me the cure that comes only from Christ. Christ goes farther in the next text where he sometimes says, we talk about, he says, light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. It reminded me of a time when Tennessee, when we had remodeled our kitchen a little bit, we put one of those, you know, those skylights that have square lights that are fluorescent inside the kitchen, and it was all framed up nice, and it brought so much more light into the kitchen as opposed to that hangy down one, you know, it hangs over the table. And as a result, we said, wow, this is bright. It looks really good. Except over there. And I didn't know we had a crack over there. And it sure looks dirty over here in this corner. And we started to see that there were some things that needed attention. I say this especially to those of us who are new Christians. When the light of Christ's light shines in our life, or even as mature Christians, sometimes we start to see the things that need attention, the changes that need to be made, the renovations in our life that must be attended to. And that's because of God's greater love for us, that these things are being pointed out so that we can be more and more in fellowship with him. And as those things occur, God's grace and mercy fill and flood light into our life, and we walk in a newness of life called abundant life. Now, as Christians, we need to pray for opportunities to pray, to proclaim the gospel to people such as my friend Henry that I told you about earlier. And to those who profess Christ, we may need to help them deal with the light that is coming into their life from the darkness that they lived in for years. They will need help and direction from us on what they are to do. You've heard me say it before, worship, witness, word. Can you help a friend get into the Word of God and to read it daily and to help them understand what it's saying, to answer their questions, and then to help them understand how to pray and what to pray about and for? Can you come and worship with them and sit with them as you invite them to come, maybe to Easter? To worship with that friend is very meaningful. To know where they're at in the service, when to stand up, when to sit down. And then helping them to learn how to share their faith with their friends that don't know Jesus yet. But to then bring them into a fellowship of your circle of Christian friends and to allow them the friendship of that circle. And finally, where should they be serving Jesus? Helping them to see that. And so as you and I walk through this life, we're not only saved, are we? We're also sent. In the blessed name of Jesus, may God bless you on the journey you and I are taking. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Lord and Savior Jesus, we come before your throne of grace and mercy to give you thanks. Thank you for the blessing of worship, to be able to hear the promises of life everlasting and the hope of the gospel of everlasting life that can be shared with all of our family, all of our friends and loved ones, that everyone who believes in your name will not perish, but will have everlasting life. O Lord, help us to not only believe that, but to share that. Help us as your children be able to live that and to walk in newness of life. O Lord, we pray for the ministry of our church and school and ask that you, O Lord, would bless us, especially as we finish out this year. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless our Dr. Brockberg, our principal, and our teachers and our staff. We pray, O Lord, that you bless the people of Trinity, the members, the leaders, and its pastor. O Lord, may your grace and mercy abound as we come together to glorify your name, to praise you, but to spread and to proclaim your name to every corner of this community. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, we also pray that you would be with our district as they seek to start 10 new congregations inside of the Florida Georgia district. May you bless our efforts as we together do this mighty deed to glorify you through the spread of the gospel into areas and communities that don't have a presence of speaking this in your language, in their language rather, to the heart knowledge that they might be brought to your glory and to believe in you. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, we also pray that you would be with those whom we pray for this day.
Merciful and gracious God, we ask your blessings on Liz Roberts. Liz has some health concerns. We ask you to send your healing light so that Liz may recover from these concerns. Comfort her and help her to recover. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Lord, we also pray that you would be with those who are suffering from serious cancer and treatments that are following, that you would be extended your blessing to those who have not spoken or but are asking you, O Lord, as they come before your throne of mercy and grace, regardless of the sickness, the sin, or the suffering, or the situation they find themselves in. May they find your mercy and grace. May your help be extended to them, and may their suffering be extinguished. Lord, in your mercy. And together we now pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation, humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it and had given thanks, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, in the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, and after he blessed it, he gave it unto them, saying, "Take ye and drink all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink this, do it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. This cup which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? O taste and see that the Lord is good. Come now, for all is ready. Take and eat the true body of Christ, given unto death for you. give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have been given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Thanks to everyone who took palm leaves off the Walk with Jesus supply tree in the Northex. This Easter experience is scheduled for Saturday, March 24th at 9 a.m. And your supply donations will help the team of volunteers to make it amazing. Your final planning meeting is this Sunday, today, at 12:30 in the First Lozier Room. Please jump in to help. Registration forms for participation are in the Northex and the school offices. Sign up now. Be sure to share the Facebook invitations or the printed invitation cards to invite a friend, neighbor, a co-worker to Trinity during the Lenten season. Wednesday Lenten services will continue each Wednesday through March the 21st at 12:10 and 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. Lenten soup dinners will be hosted by Trinity volunteer teams in the Fellowship Hall each Wednesday from 5:30 to 6:45. Mark your calendars to join in some Trinity fellowship. And finally, our Comfort Dog Ministry will begin collecting puppy supplies to prepare for the arrival of our Comfort Dog beginning Easter morning. Check the Northex for the puppy shower wish list and mark your calendars for April the 15th. Luncheon where we'll gather together to have a meal and bless all of those supplies and our new Comfort Dog ministry. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go in peace, serve the Lord with joy.